What are the benefits of Christ's ascension? The ascension of Christ represents, quite simply, the restoration of all God's original intentions for mankind and the earth, all that which had been lost and ruined by Adam's sin. The creation was spoiled by Adam's sin, and that was signified by man being cast out of the Garden of Eden, and his job of guarding and glorifying the garden was stripped away from him and was entrusted to angels. And so we see in the scriptures that for the whole Old Testament period, the governance of the world fell to angels, good or evil, in a shadowy sort of way that we catch only glimpses of in the Old Testament scriptures. But with the coronation of Jesus and upon his ascension, all that was intended for man was restored and bestowed upon the perfect man, the last Adam, Jesus Christ. And thus began the new heavens and the new earth, a new creation that was a full restoration of all that had been lost and a full realization in principle of all that God had originally intended. Now, that doesn't appear that way to us because it did not happen in an instant. The reason why everything was not restored in an instant is quite simply because, as Jesus tells us, it is not the design of God the Father to judge the world, but rather to save the world. And so instead of having the old creation end, be cast into judgment, and then start with a wholly new one, God had his new creation break into this old fallen creation upon the incarnation of Jesus, his ministry, and then especially with his glorification and ascension. So that was the beginning of the restoration of what God had intended for heaven and earth from the start. The king had been born. The king had triumphed over Satan and sin and death, the evil triumvirate, and the king had finally taken his throne. And so we see that while there wasn't a lot of fireworks, most people who were alive at the time that Jesus ascended didn't know any difference in their daily lives. And yet, truly, heaven and earth had changed forever. Each of them had changed both physically and governmentally. Heaven changed physically and governmentally. For the first time ever, a man was in heaven in the presence of God. A man with a real body like ours, except without sin, was in heaven in the presence of God. In the Old Testament, we see that the saints who died, they went to a place of comfort that Jesus called Abraham's bosom. It was a place of comfort. They weren't being tormented, but it was not heaven. It was not the actual presence of God. But now a man, a real man with a real body, was in the presence of God, thus opening the way to heaven, bridging the gap between heaven and earth, and bringing with him the souls of the Old Testament saints from Abraham's bosom into the very presence of God. Heaven also changed governmentally. For the Father seated Jesus on his throne. He gave to him, as Jesus tells us in the Great Commission, all authority in heaven and on earth. And he also committed to him all judgment, as Jesus tells us in John chapter 5. He says the Father doesn't judge anyone, but has committed all judgment into the hands of the Son. So heaven had a new king who was a man. Similarly, the earth changed both physically and governmentally. Governmentally, the earth had a new king, for Christ's authority and prerogative of judgment extended to all the earth, to all nations, and to all peoples. In the words of the prophets, Christ was given the nations as his inheritance and the ends of the earth as his possession, that all peoples and nations should serve him. Psalm 2 and Daniel chapter 7. So the earth was changed governmentally. The earth was also changed physically. For the first time since the Garden of Eden, the Spirit of God was poured out on the earth. The Spirit of God was poured out upon sinners redeemed through Christ, both young and old, men and women, sons and daughters. At Pentecost, the kingdom leaven was poured into the recipe. and there is no going back. Once you put leaven into the recipe, you can't take it out. It's not like dropping a chocolate chip into it, and you can reach in there and pull it back out. The leaven goes in, it spreads, it fundamentally changes the character of the recipe because leaven is not inert. Leaven is alive. So once the kingdom leaven was poured into the earth and into humanity at Pentecost, there is no going back. Mankind and the earth were changed forever. Christ's ascension and his enthronement also have a very personal blessing and benefit for each of us. Christ's ascension is his pledge. It is his proof to us that he will never change his love toward us. God the Son is a man forever. God the Son is a man forever. God has forever bound himself to our bodied race. He became one of us, like us in every way except for sin, so that we might become like him. Accordingly, Christ has given his Spirit to dwell in each of us, making each of us, as Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians, the temple of God, and also making us all together the one temple of God. We are his dwelling place. And in this way, by making us his home and dwelling with us, Christ and God guarantee to us that we will be where he is, and that the Spirit who resurrected and glorified his body will do the same for ours. And we also have the assurance that Jesus personally intercedes for us, Romans 8, verse 34. And so does the Holy Spirit, Romans 8, verses 26 and 27. For all of these reasons, we have God's promise that he will conform us to the image of Christ. And to that end, he works every single thing that happens in this world, so that even the worst of things serves our good. With all these things being true, we can approach God boldly, as we are commanded to do, to come boldly into his presence, to confess our sins, for we know that he loves us. We have proof that he loves us, and we have his promise to forgive us.